F. Scott Fitzgerald in a letter to his daughter. A good style simply doesn't form unless you absorb half a dozen top-flight authors every year. Or rather it forms, but instead of being a subconscious amalgam of all that you have admired, it is simply a reflection of the last writer you have read, a watered-down journalese. More than 40 years after I first read them, these two sentences from the ailing writer to his teenage daughter still arouse that thrill of delighted approbation that once took the form of the word yes uttered while one stood up suddenly before walking around the room. Nowadays I stay in my chair, but in the metaphysical sense I am no less moved. Fitzgerald wrote this letter in 1940. Propelled by his alcoholism, he was far gone in his decline by then. So far gone that he could actually believe his stints in Hollywood were getting him out of trouble instead of further in. He was not so far gone, however, that he didn't feel the need to impress his daughter by presenting himself as a wise man. In the long run, of course, there was a cosmic joke. He was a wise man. Great failure had made him so. It takes a great artist to have a great failure, and F. Scott Fitzgerald was so great an artist that he could turn even his fatal personal inadequacies into material for poetry. The magazine articles collected in the crack-up were worth the crack-up. The moment when his mind came closest to disintegrating was the moment when his prose style came closest to a perfect coherence. That was quite a thing for it to do so markedly, because it had always been coherent. Fitzgerald, seemingly from his apprentice years, had wielded a style of inclusive fluency, his because it was nobody else's, the ideal, natural, neutral style, so finely judged in its musicality, it convinces its readers that their own melodic sense is being answered from phrase to phrase, sentence to sentence, and paragraph to paragraph. Can we really believe that he arrived at his style only after reading many other great stylists, absorbing and synthesizing their various influences, and somehow contriving to eliminate the residues, even of the latest one? The belief comes hard. Concerning Fitzgerald, there is a principle that can't be taught in a creative writing class, and is hard enough to teach in the regular English faculty, but it's worth a try. His disaster robbed us of more books as wonderful as The Great Gatsby and Tender as the Night, but we wouldn't have those if he hadn't been like that. Fitzgerald's prose style can be called ravishing because it brings anguish with its enchantment. He always wrote that way, even when, by his own later standards, he could as yet hardly write at all. He could still write that way when death was at his shoulder. He wrote that way because he was that way. The style was the man.